Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible, and we will read down. Well, I'm going to read the chapter. Let's just read the whole chapter. It's a good one. It's a good one. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Verse 5, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for all that this chapter contains. And Lord, we're going to just hit the mountaintops real quick. But I believe that, Lord, there's a formula in here that sure can help us. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, some will just be reminded of something that the preacher preached many years ago. And for many and most, this will be maybe some new material and some things that can help them beginning tomorrow, this can help them. And I pray that it would in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. Appreciate it. Very good. So folks, holiness is important. And I think the reason that God has stirred my heart towards this message is one of the things about us, we had a staff meeting today and for our school. And it was a good time and a wonderful time and a time to do some teaching. And you say, school, preacher, that's a long way away. It's not a long way away. And so we're preparing already for that. But one of the things I told them, and this is true of every leader, if you're a leader, you don't live in the moment and you don't live with your mind on the next week. As a pastor, I have to live 3 months ahead of where y'all are. Okay. So a lot of times you're focused on what's going to happen this weekend, and that's fine. So am I, by the way, or what's going to happen in the next couple weeks. But if you're leading a ministry, you have to be constantly 2-3 months ahead because things are coming up and things have to be prepared. And then I have an added element that keeps me in the future, and that is radio broadcast. And so if I don't get my radio broadcast in, I mean, these radio stations get after me. And so I'm actually doing radio broadcast, finishing up August and getting ready to go into September. So sometimes if I say the wrong month that we're in or I seem confused, it's because I live in this time warp, you know, and I'm bouncing back and forth working on things. And then all of a sudden I'll look at today's date and I'll say, it's just June? What do you mean it's just June? You know, but one of the things, and the reason I share that with you is that, you know, I'm working on radio broadcasts right now, and I just started a new series on the importance of holiness. And it's based on a series of lessons that I taught. And a few years back, we took an entire month and just preached every single message, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, on the subject of holiness. I'm due to do it again, to be honest with you. Folks, we must understand the importance of living a holy life. 677 times, some form of the word holiness is found in the Bible. And so don't tell me you're a Bible preacher if you go 2 or 3 years and don't mention holiness. I'm sorry, but you're not. Don't tell me that the Sunday school teachers are doing their job if we're not talking about holiness. Parents, you're not leading your family, come on, in a biblical way, if you're not talking about holiness from time to time. And it's very, very important that as we watch the Church of Jesus Christ, and even many churches that used to really have a separatist stand, as they kind of continue to creep and crawl towards worldliness, you know what? There's got to be some preachers and got to be some churches that says, we're going to hold the line. Okay? It's important that we live a holy life for the sake of our relationship with God and for a testimony to a lost and dying world. And so we have all kinds of places we can go in the Bible. I'll read a few. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Think about that. We're going to talk about that later. Think about this idea of every morning presenting your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And the Bible says, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable for God to ask us every morning to present our bodies. By the way, this vessel that carries us, our bodies, this flesh, it gives us a lot of problems. And so what's the first thing we're to do? Bring it to an altar. We'll talk about it in a little bit here. Die to self. Die to self. Die. You're not going to live a holy life if you're not willing to die to self. And so this is something that's taught throughout the Bible. And 1 Peter 1, the challenge, of course, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, just a couple of verses. I mean, 677 times, we'd be here a long time. But folks, we serve a holy God. God the Father is holy. God the Son is holy. Okay? I mean, the demons even recognize this. They said, we know who thou art, thou holy one of God. I mean, demons recognize the holiness of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is holy. That's why many, many times in the Bible, you'll see him referred to as the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And sometimes you'll hear somebody that goes to one of these rock and roll churches, boy, you should have been in the service the other night. Man, you could feel the Spirit. And I want to ask them, which Spirit? The Bible says, try the spirits. Not every spiritual, you'll sense spiritual activity sometimes, but that don't mean it's the, I said, did you sense the Holy Spirit? And those kind of folks usually don't like to use the Spirit's first name. I'll say, you keep saying Spirit, Spirit, Spirit. Why don't you ever use his first name? And they'll look at me funny. Because the Holy Spirit will always urge you and lead you to holiness. And so this is an important thing. Holiness, by the way, folks, is not sinlessness. Okay, but holiness will help you sin less. Holiness is the result of, listen to me, a determined decision to embrace a consecrated, dedicated life. It is a daily decision to set yourself apart from worldliness and to instead embrace godliness. It's an individual thing, okay? It's not something that we can do corporately, something I can say, all right, we're all going to do this together. That's an individual decision to go to God each and every morning. Now, folks, your best chance of living a holy life, when I say how to live a holy life today, is to do it one day at a time. To do it one day at a time. A holy life is lived one day at a time. No one can live a holy life without God's help. So let's start by meeting him. This is why our time in the presence of the Lord every single morning becomes so important. I think it's make or break. Okay, I mean, you know what? If you don't spend some time in the presence of a holy God and making some decisions every day of your life, then it's going to be hard to live that out. And so I know this. I have no doubt that there's Christians in this room that if you were honest would say, preacher, I'm struggling that with that right now. Look right up here. I'm not surprised. Why wouldn't the devil attack that? And he's not just attacking it in your life. He's attacking it in my life and everybody else's life. And to build in that discipline of just, listen, I'm before I walk out the door, before I try to live this thing called life today, if I have any chance of living a holy life today, I first have to meet with a holy God. You all know the poem. You've probably heard it. I met God in the morning when the day was at its best, in his presence like sunshine. Like a glory in my breast. All day long, the presence lingered. All day long, he stayed with me, and we sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed, but the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mine, when I too had loosed the moorings with the presence, with his presence left behind. So I think I know the secret, learned from many a troubled way. You must seek him in the morning if you want him through the day. And boy, God's rooting for you. I want you to hear the preacher say that. I mean, he knows. He knows everything that you're facing. He knows that I'm what I'm facing. He remembers that we're but dust. And don't you think that God wants you to succeed more than you want to succeed? And so he's rooting for you. And so take that time in the morning. Now, I want to show you something, and then I'll kind of talk down through it. But I would love for everybody's Bible in Colossians chapter 3 to look something like this, okay? And I know it's a long way to see. Here, I'll make it easier for you to see. All right? Is that better in the back? Okay, all right. And what this is just a simple highlighter. And I've highlighted certain words in Colossians chapter number 3. I cannot tell you how helpful this is to this preacher. And from time to time to be able to go to Colossians chapter 3, okay, Lord, I need to hit a reset button. I need victory. I'm not winning. I'm failing. I need your help. And there's a wonderful little seven words, although a couple of them are phrases, that I will have you highlight. And so I'm going to walk you through it. And if you've got a pen, you can circle these words or underline them. If you want to wait till later on, and preacher, I'd like to mark it with a highlighter, then you can do that later, or you can listen to this Bible study on our website or on the YouTube channel, and you can just listen to the introduction and mark it real quick. The very first word is the word set, okay? Verse number 2. I'm not going to elaborate on any of them. I'm just going to point them out. So number 1 is set. Number 2, the second word is mortify, verse number 5, the very first word in verse number 5. All right. Then the next phrase or word is put off, and that's found in verse number 8. If you look in verse number 8, but now ye also, and then just highlight or underline put off. Put off in verse number 8. Then look at verse number 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have, there it is again, put off. Okay. Shouldn't surprise us that after we've put off some things, look at verse number 10, and have put on. So that's the next phrase. So you got set, mortify, put off, verse 8, put off, verse 9, verse 10, put on. Look, if you will, in verse number 12, first two words, put on. And then if you jump down after there, verse number 14. So there's three times we find the little phrase put on, verse 14, and above all these things. Well, he said, listen, you put on these other things, but don't forget this, the most important one, put on charity. And then the next word that we're going to highlight or underline is the word let, L-E-T, let, verse number 15, and let. Verse number 16, the very first word, let. Okay, so we have put on verse 10, put on in verse 12, put on in verse 14, let in verse number 15, let in verse number 16. The next one is the word do. Do, verse number 16. Hey, we're not doing all this stuff for no reason. If you will do all these things that precede the word do, you're going to have a lot more success doing what you need to do, okay? So verse 17, do, is found twice. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do. So twice you'll find the word do. And then if you jump down to verse number 23, you'll find it twice again. Verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, comma, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. And then the last word is the word know or knowing. And that's found in verse number 24, the very first word. Now, if you've been in the habit of doing this, this becomes very familiar to you. Preacher, you mean every morning I need to just work my, I'm going to tell you, once you do it, and you see the difference it makes in your life. Okay, I'm telling you, you start out with this process and then you go out into your day and you watch what a difference it makes in the way you could, the success that you have in living the Christian life. So let's teach down through these things real quickly. Hey, folks, if we're going to live a holy life, first thing we got to do is set something, okay? That's found in verse number 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And then verse number 1, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So what this is doing is causing you to set your mind on heavenly things instead of on earthly things. Set your affection. Well, that's so important. Your affection. You know, God draws a very specific line in the sand here. And, you know, when he talks about choices, he says, you know what? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And then he adds this, pretty powerful. Now, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, I didn't write that. And so when God draws this real strong line, then we recognize that we have to make a decision every day of our life, because the world will try to steal your affection and the world will try to steal your love. But I'm going to tell you something. If you give the world that, don't walk around telling me how much you love God. Now, those that, again, have vacated separation, vacated standards, excused worldliness, tried to pretend like there's not this line, will try to tell you that they can love the world and love God. Well, again, if God says something and somebody else says the opposite, let God be true and every man a liar. I can fool myself into thinking that I love God, but if all of my affection and all of my attention and all my love is caught up into the world, then the Bible says the love of the Father is not in me. And so that's a very important first step. Think about this. You're getting up in the morning, you get the Bible open, you go ahead and do your morning devotions, whatever you're doing. And I'm going to flip over to Colossians 3, and I'm just going to walk through a process here. And it doesn't take that long, but I'm going to walk through a process because I want to live a holy life today. Okay. And so make sure that you start by just telling the Lord, Lord, right now, I want you to know I'm setting my love towards you. I'm setting my affection towards you. I'm not going to let, Lord, I'm not going to let the world steal my affection. I'm not going to let it steal my love today. All of this down here, that's not the most important thing. You're the most important thing. First and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And so we have to decide, first thing, every morning, where is your affection going to be set? Now, let's look at the word mortify. Mortify, very powerful word, by the way. Mortify, if you look at it, means to kill, to slay. And so it's a very strong word. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, watch this. For which things' sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Hey, all this stuff, that's how the lost world lives. And by the way, he goes on to say, in the which ye also walk sometime. I mean, this is BC stuff before Christ. Okay. And what is this sin? What are these sins that the Bible says, listen, you don't put them off. You don't grow out of them. You kill them. Okay. As a new Christian, there's growth in grace. As a new Christian, there's some things that it may take you some time to attain. But God says, you don't grow out of this stuff. You know what you do? You load your double-barrel shotgun and you blast them. Okay? Listen, every single one of these, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is adultery, all of these are talking about the sins of the flesh. Let me just say it plain. I'm trying to be careful, but it's talking about sexual sins. And folks, listen to me. There's some things that should not be named once among the brethren. And yet it's being named often amongst the brethren. And it's because we don't take these things serious. And you say, well, preacher, I struggle in some of these areas. That's why it's so important to understand, as I mentioned, what it means to die daily. I think Paul struggled with it. Read Romans chapter 7 and tell me he didn't struggle. But you know what? He says in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Okay, so we talked about in Romans chapter 12 to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And I had one good preacher friend of mine that said, you know what? I know what's going to give me the most trouble every single day. And he said, when I wake up in the morning, he said, I turn my bed into an altar. Before I'll even put my foot on the floor, I turn my bed into an altar. And I say, Lord, I'm going to offer to you my members, my flesh, my body is a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Now, folks, listen to me. Listen, these aren't the type of sins you can play with. Okay? I mean, we need a whole revival amongst Christians about what they're looking at on their phones. This isn't something to dabble with. This isn't something to play with. Okay? This isn't so, well, wink, wink, God understands. No, he says, kill that stuff. Kill it, mortify it. How can you live a holy life if you don't kill that stuff? And so very, very important that we just take this seriously. So if you're fairly new in the faith, you know, one of the things that God says right off the bat, any of this stuff, any of this junk, any provisions that you've made for your flesh, you get rid of that stuff and you kill those sins in your life. Okay, very good. Now, verse number 8, verse number 9, there's another phrase here. And that's the phrase put off. And so that's the next one. So we have set, mortify, put off. And again, you're going through the process. Now, think about this. If we took a few minutes, how long would this really take? And say, Lord, I'm going to have no patience in this area of my life. I want to die when it comes to my flesh. In my flesh is no good thing. I want to present my body, living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. By the way, Lord, there's some things before I walk out of this house that I want to put away from me. I want to put off from me. And so it's very specific. God helps you because you can pray through this. Lord, help me to put off anger. You know, because folks, anger destroys so many things. Okay. And you know, I can't live your life, but boy, I hope there's a little bit of a sense of search me, oh God, here. Because if you struggle with anger, and people say, well, men struggle with anger. I met a lot of women that struggle with anger. And, you know, I think you need to put that thing under the microscope. I think you need to bring it before the Lord. You know, because if you're mad all the time, listen to me, I'm going to help you with it. If you're just mad all the time, and you say, well, why are you mad? Well, because of this, because of this, because of this. No, it's not. Those are just triggers. Come on. We need to get before the Lord and say, what is really my problem? What am I angry about? What has caused this anger and bitterness in my heart so that I just have this quick fuse and I just don't have patience and it just takes nothing for me to fly off the handle? And so, Lord, I'm going to put that off today. And if you need to, do a little surgery. Get down to where you find the source of it. Because I think all bitterness, you say, well, somebody hurt me. Listen, all bitterness, I'll just say this, won't go deep into it, but all bitterness is ultimately bitterness against God. You may say, well, I'm bitter against this person because they did this. No, down deep, your bitterness, you're bitter at God for letting that person do that. And once you realize that your bitterness really isn't towards them, it's a secret bitterness that you're reflecting towards God. And so I guess God made a mistake. I guess he's not perfect after all. And so you got to dig down deep and you got to say, you know, what is it? Why am I always mad? So anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, just one at a time, pray through this. Lord, I want to put off anger. I want to put off wrath. And anger and wrath is two different. They're connected. Anger is inward violent passion, and wrath is an outward manifestation of that inward violent path. So anger is what stews inside of you. Wrath is what comes out of you. Does that help? And so if you eliminate the anger, sounds like you probably have a good chance to eliminate the wrath. Malice, watch this, to wish ill on others, to secretly harbor thoughts of evil or injury against another, a hateful desire for revenge. Oh, no Christian battles that. I think you'd be surprised. Because, folks, we live in a mean world. And there's people in this room that people have done horrific, hurtful things to them. All right? Horrific, hurtful things to them. And I'm not defending their actions or trying to defend their actions. But you've got to decide, listen, you can't control what they did, but you've got to learn to control how you're going to respond to it. And that's why the Bible gives us this, you know, Jesus takes this teaching on the Sermon on the Mount just elevates it almost past our human imagination and understanding, because he's like, love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. And it's like, because that is not my inclination. You know, I want to see him cross the road and speed up and whack him. That's what I want to do. That's what my old flesh wants to do. I want to get revenge. And yet God says, hey, stop. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I know what's been done. Okay? I'll repay. And so what we have to do is, instead of carrying this malice in our heart towards somebody, we have to be able to trust God with and say, God, you know what other folks have done in my life, and you know the hurt they've brought into my life. But Lord, I do not want that to control me. So I'm going to put them in your hands. I'm going to put this situation in your hand. Lord, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to pray for them. And if I have an opportunity to do good, I'm going to do good to them. And, you know, listen, if we aren't going through the process, say, all this just to get through one day? Yeah. 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 Because the devil has so many different things to throw at you. You know, now think about that. Malice, blasphemy means to speak evil of that which is good, especially towards God. Evil communications, boy, we've all been guilty of that. Vile, shameful, or base conversations. Come on, when something goes wrong, so easy for that old man to trigger something that's coming out of your mouth that shouldn't come out of the mouth of a Christian. A lying, being less than honest with yourself, with others, or with God. I like that, because folks, I think lying, the biggest person we lie to a lot of times is us. Starts by lying to yourself and then lying to others. It gets to the point where we even lie to God sometimes. A failure to embrace the truth. Now, all right, we spent a little time. Now we put on, we got put off the old man and his deeds. The old man and his deeds. I've crucified that old man today. I've already offered him up on the altar. And now I'm going to put off these character traits of the old man. Verse 10, verse 12, verse 14, put on. All right, so we put this bad stuff off. Now it's trying to replace it with good things. Ask the Lord to equip you each morning with these positive Christ-like attributes. And we have the list. Again, isn't it so great the way this is spelled out for us? Because God gives us definite lists. If I'm going to crucify the old man and the flesh, okay, then what I want to do is put on the new man. Because folks, every single one of us have a new nature that came on the day we were saved. But we also have the old nature. And so we've got to purposefully decide, is the new nature going to be in control today, or is the old man going to run the show? And so how do we do that? We put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This is the part of us that when God created man, it says he made man in his own image. That's incredible. Think about that. And then verse number 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy. So you go down through here, Lord, I want to put on mercy. I want to be merciful to other people the same way you're merciful to me. And then kindness. Oh my goodness. Isn't it something, if every Christian would just put on kindness. And folks, kindness is not the absence of unkindness. Okay, were you kind today? Well, let me think. Well, I wasn't unkind to anybody, so I must have been kind. No, that's not how it works. Okay, and so, you know, you can be neutral in these areas. Maybe you weren't unkind, but doesn't the Bible doesn't say don't to not be unkind. It says to be kind. And so watch this. You say, preacher, this seems like a lot. Well, let me ask you something. Could you stand up and give testimony of a kindness you showed to anyone today? And if you didn't, it's probably because you didn't put it on. Okay, if we're going to be this and do this, then we have to put these things on. Kindness, humbleness of mind. You know, there's different besetting sins. And honestly, folks, I know, and I mean this, maybe they just do this, maybe they just get closer to the Lord than I am, but I see people and know people that just seems like their natural inclination is to have a humbleness of heart. And maybe pride is not their besetting sin. And then there's others that struggle big time with this. Jerry Ross, I will tell you, if you want the full list, see me after church, but I'll give you one of them. But I have to battle this in my life. And I do. And so many times I let that sin of pride taint or destroy something that God's trying to do, or to keep me from wanting to be apologetic when I need to apologize, or to admit when I'm wrong when I've been wrong, and to want to defend myself instead of just saying, no, there's no defense for that. And so, you know, it depends on what you struggle with. Some of these things will help you in fighting whatever your besetting sin is. Meekness means to treat others with gentleness. Oh, we've got so many people in the church so good at this. Thank you. Please do that. We got so many children's ministry. You have to have put on every Sunday morning gentleness in interacting with other church members and interacting with new converts. Just such an important attribute gentleness is. And long-suffering, to exercise patience. Put these things on. And then it goes on, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And just here's the thing. Lord, anybody that offends me today or does something against me today, help my first inclination is to forbear that and forgive that. Because you do, you have for me. I want to represent your level of forgiveness. And wow, that's not easy, because again, that goes against the old man, the old nature. We want revenge. We want to strike back. We want to stand up for ourselves. And so to ask God to help you to put on these things. And then we get down to verse number 14. I love this. Man, God's like, if you forget all of the other ones, and don't forget all the other ones, but if you do, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And if you look up that word charity, it comes from the word agape, a God-type love. Lord, just help me to look at people I don't even know and love them like you love them. And that's not natural for Jerry Ross. But boy, God, if you pray for it and you seek it, God will give it to you. You know, I sometimes see new visitors come into church. I haven't even met them. I don't even know their name. And my heart just fills with love. I thought, I don't know why they're here. I don't know how God, what circumstance brought them here. I don't know who invited them. All I know is they walked in Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I think if the entire congregation's first response to those type of people is just this matter of instantly caring about them, loving them, wanting to get to know them, wanting to make them feel welcome, hoping that they feel the love of Jesus Christ through us. And so, you know, and again, unnatural things. Yeah, for the old man. Hey, if you didn't kill him this morning and he's been running the show all day, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But boy, I'm going to tell you, you know, I'm going to talk about this dual nature for just a minute, okay? Because sometimes a Christian, I literally had a, and I won't mention her name, but she grew up in this church and she went to Bible college and graduated. She married a Christian guy and they were doing so well. And she had, God blessed them with children. And then all of a sudden she just went off the deep end. I mean, I'm talking about left her kids. I mean, just went out and just started living this wild, crazy life. A girl that me and my wife invested a lot in. And other people in this church invested a lot in. So what do, preacher? I get my car. I go down and we meet her for a meal. And I reach out to her. Hey, you know, restore such an one. The spirit of meekness. Well, I don't try to restore people, you know. And so she agreed to meet with me. And she just finally looked at me and just said, Brother Jerry, I just feel like that my entire life, there's been a part of me that I've just suppressed. And I just finally wanted to be who I really am. Now, it's good that it's quiet. Because you know what? Every single one of us has that. I want to be who I really am. And that's when I said, which one of you do you really want to be? Because we still have the old nature. The old man's still there. And we're supposed to suppress it. In fact, we're supposed to go past that. We're supposed to kill it every day. But sometimes people almost feel like, well, there's just been this real me. Yeah, there's two real yous. There's the old man and the new man. Folks, if you're not careful, you know what the devil did? He went and told that girl a lie. What you've been doing all these years, if you've just not really been true to who you really are. Well, I hope not. I hope I'm not. Because the potential for both is still there, even though we're born again Christian. I wanted to tell you that story. Because some of you are going to get to that point where you're struggling in that. And you're going to say, you know what? I just feel like I've been really not who I truly, I'm not true to who I am supposed to be and who. And you can even get God into it, who God really made me to be. God didn't make you to live in the flesh, give into the flesh, to surrender to that old man, to go back to that old life. He didn't create you to be that way. But there's going to be that tug at times, especially, folks, if we are skipping our Bible reading. We're not close to the Lord. We're feeding that old flesh. We're feeding that old man. He's getting stronger and stronger, more powerful in our life. And I just want to tell you, sometimes you'll watch people that you think, man, they've served the Lord for a decade or 15 years. And I mean, and all of a sudden they just go, and people say, well, I wonder if they're really saved. I don't know. I'm not God. But sometimes I think that what they did was they just got tired of fighting the flesh. They got tired of suppressing the old man. And next thing you know, they just surrendered to it. But folks, listen to me. If you do that, you still have the new man in you. If you're truly saved, you can pull a lot. You can pitch your tent towards Sodom. You can move right into the city. But the Bible says, well, Peter wrote that through inspiration, that his righteous spirit was vexed every day. You can go into the world, but don't tell me you can enjoy it. Because listen, you're either going to spend your life in the world suppressing the new man, or serving God, suppressing the old man. And so let's fight the good fight. Yes, sir. Let's fight the good fight, okay? And then verse 15, I got to hurry, but verse 15 is this wonderful word, let. I love this. As you go through the first four steps, you set your affections, you mortify the flesh, you put off the old man, you put on these attributes of the no man, new man, and about this time through the process, something begins to happen that only God can do. And I just want to say this to you, let it happen. Because all of a sudden, you are aligning yourself with the Lord, and you are surrendering to the Holy Spirit's control. And all of a sudden, look at these verses, and let, what begins to come? The peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be thankful. And there becomes this sense of peace. And I think along the lines of this process about now, God just comes alongside you and says, listen, I got you today. I'm going to be with you today. I know about that old man. I know about that world. I know about that person that hurt you. I know what you're struggling with. Hey, you know what? Just put on that new man. All right. Mortify, kill that. Set your affection. Put off, put on. And then you just kind of let the peace of God. There's a spirit of peace. There's a spirit of thankfulness. And be ye thankful. Then verse 15. And then watch this, folks. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I love that little phrase there. Yeah, I guess that means the word of Christ can dwell in you, or it can dwell in you richly. And all of a sudden, in this new state, the Bible becomes very real in your life. And as you begin to walk through the day, the biblical principles, I will tell you something, the world will provide for you many opportunities to apply Bible principles. Let me tell you what people will give you, many opportunities to apply Bible principles. But it's kind of neat when you're just walking through life with the help of the Lord and somebody reacts or somebody does something and instantly the Holy Spirit helps you to kind of say, well, how would Christ react to this? Or what does the Bible tell me I'm supposed to do in this situation? And then you begin to live a very biblical life, Bible-based decision, Bible-based words, Bible-based reactions. And you know what? When you're in the middle of all that, don't get me wrong, don't get lifted up with pride, because then but you just all of a sudden say, hey, with God, I can do this. Okay, with God, with God's word, you can walk away from situations instead of saying, man, I mishandled. Boy, did I blow it. You can walk away from situations and say, I think God guided my words. I think God helped me there. I think I helped that person. I think I said what I should have said. I think I had the spirit that I should have had there. Isn't that awesome? So some things, and then all of a sudden it gets down into relationships. Did you notice that? Verse 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 is all about relationships. And all of a sudden, folks, this begins to affect your, okay, vertical relationship. Vertical relationship affects your horizontal relationship. You get yourself lined up the right way this way, and all of a sudden, all these situations and personal relationships you have that you battle through or it's not right, not good. And a lot of it is because we're letting the old man dictate how we feel, what we say, you know, how we behave ourselves toward. And all of a sudden, all of these relationships that was so hard for a wife to submit herself to her husband, all of a sudden it's like, that's what God says. That's what God says. It's so hard for a husband maybe sometimes to love your wife. You struggle in that area. It's like, all of a sudden, well, that's easy. You know why? Because you put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And so all these relationships become easy. Then you get down to the word do, okay? Verse 17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto the men. All right, now you're ready to launch out into life. Okay, now get up and go live your life that day. Begin the doing of your daily tasks and responsibilities. But wait a minute. Whatever you do, make sure that you do it in the name of Jesus. And by the way, whatever you do, give thanks to God. Have you ever just in the middle of the day stopped and said, thank you, Lord, that I have the strength to do this today? Thank you, God, that you gave me the ability to think through that problem and come to the right conclusion. And it's so much fun. Give thanks to God. Bring the positive attributes of the new man into every relationship you enjoy in every situation. And by the way, whatever you do, don't do it halfway. Put your heart into it. Do it for the Lord and not men. You're doing it heartily as to the Lord. And then there's this last word, and we're done. The word knowing there in verse 24. Because in the back of your mind, this peace of God that's kind of come into your heart, and the word of God that's dwelling in you richly and guiding you through the day, helping you, come on, see victories. And man, it's great to get to the end. You're never going to get to the end of the day and say, boy, I did it perfect. But you can get to the end of the day with a very much a heart satisfaction and a knowing. Look at verse 24, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And folks, it's a wonderful thing to just know, you know what? God's going to bless and reward a Christian that decides to live a holy life. He's just going to do it. He's going to do it. By the way, there's the other side of the coin, verse 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. There's no respect of persons. And so kind of lean back into that knowing. Motivate, encourage yourself with this thought. Even if no one understands, if no one appreciates it, if no one notices my obedience to God and my attempt to live a holy life, God sees it. That today my focus and my affection was on you, Lord. And my heart's desire was to please you, Lord. And I wanted you to control me today. And if nobody else says one word to you about it, you can kind of put your pillow on your head on your pillow at night and say, hey, you know what? God saw it. And the reward, honestly, folks, is a lot of times just knowing that he's pleased. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this, I think, very interesting, unique chapter. And Lord, maybe once folks have gone through this several times, it gets down to where, you know, what, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes? Sincere, focused communication, proper alignment, reconnecting with you, asking for help, asking for victory, killing what needs to be killed, putting off what needs to be put off, putting on what needs to be put on. And then just letting that peace of God rush over us, the word of God control us. The doing then, jump up, let's go, let's go, let's go. Let's live for God today. Let's do everything we do for his glory. Let's do it heartily as unto the Lord. And then, Lord, that sweet knowing. Lord, I pray, dear God, as we've kind of walked through this, that, Lord, it'll help God's people. We want to. I believe this. I don't think there's a folks here on a Wednesday night, middle of the week, they stopped everything, came to church. I don't think folks do that without having a heart to want to do right and live right. So may this help us, we pray in Jesus' name.